To the 8th chapter of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Amen. There are some miracles recorded in the Gospels that are recorded in each one of the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is one of those Gospels. It's recorded by Matthew, it's recorded by Mark, and it's recorded by Luke. You should go home and read the three passages. They're most illuminating and in many ways different, and yet bringing out the full picture. Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 5, Luke chapter 8. Being set aside from the routine of your work, as I have been, you get time to meditate upon God's word. Of course you read his book. If you don't, then you're a hypocrite. For a man who says he's a Christian and doesn't read the Bible practices open hypocrisy. And of course you spend time thinking about what you've read, or you're a hypocrite. But to take time to munch on it, and chew on it, and meditate on it. As W.P. Nicholson used to say, be a cow and chew on it. And chew your cud. And we need to do that. Well, I saw something about this woman that I had never seen before. That she introduced us to the woman's touch. We husbands know all about the woman's touch. And maybe the woman's slap as well, although we sit so innocently in church and wouldn't pretend that that would happen to us. I have my wife well under control, and when you look at the poor fellow, you know who controls him. But it's interesting to note that the first woman mentioned in the Bible, the first time touch was spoken, it was touched by Eve. It was spoken by Eve. Eve said, "We're not allowed to touch the fruit of the tree." That, of course, was an absolute lie, because the Lord never said, "You have not to touch it." The Lord said, "You have to eat it, not to eat it, not to touch it. Our brother sitting beside me, he's a naughty boy, and he said to me at dinner time, he said, "Ian, did you ever think in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't the apple in the tree, it was the pear on the ground that gave the trouble?" And I think that is very true and very applicable. But let me say that this woman, Eve, introduced the woman's touch. And this woman here introduced the woman's touch. But how different. I hope that maybe another Lord's Day at the table I'll be able to talk to you about the woman's touch in Genesis chapter 3. But here we have the woman's touch. You know, this portion of Scripture starts with the remarkable differentiation. This woman knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was different. You know, she had been at every specialist she could find, and they were all sharks, and they took her money, but they might as well have given her an aspirin. It did nothing to help her. But she discerned, as she was caught up in the crowd following the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus Christ was different. She said, "The miracles he does, they're spectacular. He must be God incarnate. And yet he's a man dressed like other men, with flesh and blood like myself. So he must be the God-man." How right she was. And she said to herself, as she was caught up in the fierce crowd that day, and there was a bigger crowd there that day than Clinton had for copying his papers. The Lord had some crowd there that day. And this woman's caught up in the crowd, but she said, "This is something different." A remarkable differentiation. But there's a remarkable determination. You know what she said? "If I but touch you, I shall be healed. Now that's all I can do, because as sure as I put out my hand and get the hold of the hem of his garment, I'm going to be pulled away, for the crowd is so busy. But all I need is to get one finger."
Amen.
"To touch the hem of his garment." Well, the hem of the garment, the woman knows the last thing you do when you've made a frock or some special thing, a coat or anything else, you put the hem on it. That's the finished work.
Amen.
And this woman said to herself, "If I could only touch the finished work, all would be well with me." It wasn't the finger that saved her. It was the Christ that the finger contacted that saved her. You don't need, my friend, a faith that you can explain to the unbelieving. You just know that your finger has touched Jesus. That's all you need to know. What a friend we have in Jesus. And she said, "If I can but touch him." You'll notice her remarkable declaration. She said, as the Gospel of Matthew records, within herself. She was the only person there that knew what she said to herself, barring the Lord Jesus. And I was amazed when I read these scriptures carefully that the Lord Jesus knew he was looking for a woman. You just read them. It didn't dazzle him at all. When he looked round, he found her. He found her. Everybody else denied that they had touched him. But that woman, she had a remarkable declaration to make. If I but touch him, I shall be healed. But there was something else happened. There was that declaration, but there was a remarkable demarcation. That woman was different from anyone else in the crowd. You know what she said? It can't be hid. Salvation can't be hid.
Hallelujah.
If you're saved, you're bound to show it.
Amen.
I led a man to the Lord in this road, a real skullduggar he was, and he got saved, and he never told anybody, not even his wife, for a year. And one morning he came to church and he said, to me, I got saved a year ago. And it was the New Year's Day that he said this. And he said, I never told anybody. Well, I said, we'll have to remedy that. And I went out into the middle of Ravenhill Road. And I stopped every car and held them back. And the cars were lined up. And I said, this fellow has something to say. And he stammered. He said, I got saved a year ago. I said, hallelujah. I told the boys to me. Now there was a Church of Ireland rector driving a little pushbike down that road, and he was mad. He was really mad that Paisley should stop the traffic on the Ravenhill Road to get some loony bin to say he'd been saved a year ago. But that man wasn't saved for a year. He was saved for God's eternity. And he lived to prove by a life of devotion to Christ that he was really and truly the Lord's.
Amen.
Let me tell you, she said it could not be hid, and so she made the remarkable demarcation from the rest. But this beautiful miracle finishes with that remarkable demonstration.
Amen.
The Lord brings her into the family and says, you're my daughter. She had been born again.
Amen.
That was the secret. My daughter. And it all came through a touch. When you go home tonight, read Genesis chapter 3 and see what Eve said about touching the apple or the fruit. See what she said. And then look at the strange harvest she reaped. And contrast it with this glorious harvest that this woman reaped. Be of good courage. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And may we all go in peace from this table tonight. Because we have touched the Lord.
Amen.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. How my heart was thrilled with joy. May the Lord touch us all tonight in Jesus' name. Brother Daniel, would you lead us in the prayer of thanksgiving for the bread?
Father, we thank you tonight for thy word. We thank you the day that the word was made flesh.
Amen.
And robed himself and became a man and went to the cross. And on that cross, according to Peter, we find the truth that in his body on the tree he bore our sins.
Glorious.
Amen.
And he paid the full price for our sins. I remember, Lord, the scripture said that night you took the bread and you broke it and you blessed it and you gave it to them. And you said, as often as you do this, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Lord, we thank you tonight that this is a cleansing time.
Lord,
as we, Lord, look to thee and know that it's only through thy shed blood that we are totally clean from our sins.
Yes.
And it's through thy word daily that we are washed. And Lord, we pray tonight that thou would receive our thanks and our worship. For our worship is only that which, Lord, could be received at your hand when it's in Christ. And yourself.
Yes.
And we do worship you tonight and bless your name.
Amen.
For giving your life for us and shedding your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We pray this in your name.
Amen. Everybody say it. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, "Take it. This is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And let's sing the last verse of our hymn 240. "He turned with, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, for this cup upon the table, this representative type divinely chosen by Christ to indicate the covenant of blood, the covenant of redemption. This cup is the cup of my testimony, the testimonial cup. And we thank thee that it's filled with testimonial wine that speaks of the blood of the Lamb. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's Lamb, and sins cleansed, sinners cleansed beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. Amen. For the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Lord, as it goes from lip to lip, may we have true thanksgiving in our heart for the precious, precious blood.
Amen.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. The Lord Jesus also took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come." We all hold the cup until everyone's served, and then we'll partake of it together and then we'll leave it in the little receptacle in front of us in the pew. Amen. We're going to sing a verse of that hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all of their guilty stain. There is a fountain filled with blood." 281. 281. Drink the cup. It's a cup of victory. There's power in the blood. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Going to heaven washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to leave a couple of things for you for prayer. Wednesday these talks start. We will need all the strength of God, all the wisdom of the Lord, to meet the snakes that shall gather around the table. So remember me in the den of snakes. You heard of a man called Daniel. He was a den of lions, but I'm going into a den of snakes. And I want you to pray that
Amen.
The Lord will give me the greatest wisdom that he ever could impart to a man at this time, for such a time as this. So pray Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'd like to say that I mourn tonight the passing of Brother Herbie. Herbie was a great man. He was a man that didn't know the Lord, but he knew long before he was saved, that I was God's man. And he thought he should back me, and he did back me. And when he was ungodly, he was a backer of Ian Paisley. That's a strange thing, but it's true. And then, thank God, Henry got saved.
Amen.
I had the joy of leading him to the Lord. His wife is the sister of Wesley Adams. And Wesley Adams was a great man, too. So the Lord did a great thing. And I trust as many as can get will get to that service in Lisburn. And we'll have a time of blessing at 1:30 on Wednesday. Pray for that service. And pray for us at these talks. The Lord will be with us.
Yes.
There's something else I want to say. For years I mourned the fact that the Free Presbyterian Church had no witness in the town of Ballyclare. Ballyclare, Protestant speaking, is the strongest Protestant area in the whole of Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
81% of its population are Protestant, and yet it doesn't have a Free Presbyterian witness. And I've been praying, I've been sending a man out to look for property, and he came and reported to me, but properties were beyond buying. And you'd had to have paid, I suppose, $100,000 for a site, and then you'd have to get planning, and it would cost you to put any sort of building. It would have cost you, I suppose, $250,000 or more. And I despaired. And one night I was at a dinner, and a feller, it was a DUP dinner. I'm not ashamed, that's my political party. And this man said, I want to speak to you after the meeting. I said, good man. And I said, are you going to give me a gift? He laughed. He went after the meeting and he says, Mr. Paisley, you're talking about a gift, but I can get you a building. He said, years ago there was a Methodist church built beside the square. And then it closed. And sometime later, the Edom people came and started a work in it, and they moved out. And so did the Baptists start a work in it, and they have moved out. And it's left to the Christian Workers Union. And our trustees have met, and everybody wants this property, but we've decided to offer it to you. It's a very low figure of $100,000. And what would you put up for $100,000? And I said to him, I looked at him, and I said, I've been praying for 4 to 5 years. I have a man chasing around this town. And I took the man that was chasing for me around the town, and I said to him, what do you think of that property? He says, marvelous. Ready to occupy. Nothing to do with it. And it's for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, have you put it in the market for to pull it down and put houses on it? I said, you probably could get $350,000 for it. So there and then I bought it without money. Silly idiot from the affairs of the world. I put my name down and says, well, I'll take it. And I hope and pray that God will give me strength on the first Saturday of next month when Dr. Jones is with us, that we'll have a big opening and we're going to start a church. And that other churches, evangelicals and all, they're mad. Absolutely. My man rang me this morning and he said, you go to Ballyclare? I said, I am. Why is it? It's not a free country. He says, you made a promise years ago you'd never go to Ballyclare. I says, I never heard about it. So when did that take place? I never listened to such lies. Well, we are going to Ballyclare.
Amen.
And I did not make this announcement until I had the deed secured. Because I knew that there's many a slip between the cup and the lip. And some old fella could come in and say, no, I'm not agreeing. So it's all done.
Amen.
And it's all settled.
Praise
but
God.
I haven't £100,000. But God has it.
Amen.
God has it.
Yes.
And we've got to pray it in. And we've got to pray for a man for Ballyclare. And we've got to set that place on fire. So you go home and pray about that. And I'll go home and pray that the Lord will open your wallet as well as your heart. And you'll give me some encouragement along the road. But great things are going to happen there.
Yes.
The best is yet to be. And the end is not yet. Praise the Lord. I'm encouraged.
Amen.
God hasn't finished with a free church.
Amen.
He's only starting.
Amen.
There are mountains to be climbed. Please, God will climb them. Rivers to be crossed. Please, God will swim them. And will wade them. And if we cannot swim them or wade them, we'll tie ourselves to sticks and float them. But we're going over in the help of the Lord. So the Lord encourages and go home and thank God for Ballyclare. Put it in your heart. Stamp it in your soul. Say, Lord, bless Ballyclare.
Amen.
Get Mr. Paisley the money that he needs and send us the man we need and give us a great opening and stop the mouths of liars. I said to the folks down there, the trustees of the hall, CWU man, I said, I started preaching in the CWU years ago as a lad of 15. And I said, I'm glad now that the CWU hall in Dromara, we took it over. And we have now taken over this. And of course, that is the best wine kept to the end. Amen. So pray for us. And remember the after meeting now. Father, we thank thee for Ballyclare. Thank you for what you've done. It's a miracle.
Amen.
And oh God, we pray that you'll undertake for us. Send us every penny piece.
Lord,
thank thee that we're not going to have a jumble seal or a daffodil tea or a car seal from the boot of a car. Thank God we've better things to give the Lord than boot seals.
Amen.
Praise God, we're going to give him the blood of our hearts for his work and the tithe of our money to finance it. Hear this our prayer and be with us in this after meeting tonight. Bless dear brother Johnny here,
his
dear wife, these two singers. Lord, bless them. Bless this dear man who's been in jail. He's got out of Zimbabwe and old McGabby has tried to kill him and lock him up and do as much harm to him. God bless him. Bring him in the fullness of blessing. On Wednesday night, shake this house with the power of God.
Amen.
For Jesus' sake.
Amen.
And everybody say,
amen.
And shout it, hallelujah. And there is a retiring offering for a very poor man called Brother Johnny.
Amen.
And he needs it. Every preacher needs help. There was a man called Jock Krupp, and with this I will finish. And Jock Krupp was a great preacher. But he always felt ministers were very poorly paid. And of course, in the early days, ministers were poorly paid. I started ministry in this road. I had £4.10 a week. And that's all I had. I had no mans and no nothing, but at £4.10 a week. And the man paid it to me. And he said to me, I think I'll pay you monthly. Says, I know, because I would miss a couple of weeks of the year. You'll just pay it weekly. You're not getting away with that. I'm a Ballymena man. But all I can say to you is this, the wear. And Jock Krupp used to carry £100 in his hip pocket. And my, you always, young preachers love to meet Jock Krupp. For Jock would say, how much have you, brother? And I would open my wallet and I would maybe have a 10-shilling note. And I didn't want to part with it. So see, that's no good for a preacher. And he'd hand you maybe 4 fivers. And you'd have thought Christmas Day had come quick. He was the Santa Claus of preachers. Willie Mullins said to me, Ian, the day that Jock Krupp gave me a fiver, I nearly fell through this thing and had 10 bob in my pocket. A 10-shilling. Well, Jock Krupp was always an encourager of men, of old preachers. and I need encouragement, so pray for me. The Lord will encourage me with a good gift. You know, there's people could give us 100,000 and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't even kill a maggot in their bank account. So I'm not looking at you, brother. But if you have it, God skin you. Amen. God bless you. You glad you're saved?
Amen. Hallelujah.
You're glad your preacher's not dying?
Amen.
Sunday Press said today that I am dying, that my doctors have told me to retire. Sunday Press said last Sunday I have a cancer of the prostate. Lies. Lies and more lies. Well, they're going to be seen. And that also said that I was out of the country recuperating. I'm sitting here in my own church praising the Lord. Good way to recuperate. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there you are. They wouldn't say it about any other politician. They wouldn't dare to. But you have a press that's run by the Pope's man. Every one of these journalists that are attacking me at the moment, they're all Pope's people. And look at this old rascal who said that Protestants must respect the Church of Rome. Sure, they don't even respect their own children. They allow their priests to malign them and destroy them and corrupt them, and then they hide them and say it never happened. I'm telling you, the Church of Rome is going to be exposed. God's coming, Christ coming, the truth Christ will reign.
Amen.
And I'll be there to shout hallelujah when they put popery over the edge. I'll be there. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Amen.
You're right, Johnny.
I love you.